the number one sports site in the world.
Live from the Quicken Loan Studios of the Yahoo Sports Radio headquarters. It's Tony D on Yahoo Sports Radio.
All right, thanks for joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio. It is hour number three. Our telephone number, 800-777-2907, 800-777-2907. Now, Adam, how many times on this show have I ever been critical of other radio hosts?
Oh, not very often at all.
I really don't do it because we're all entitled to our opinions. It's one of the things I respect about people in our business. We're all entitled to our opinions, and some of us will say crazy things, and, you know, I don't mind. I've always said I don't care what an opinion is as long as you back up what you believe, right? And every program director I've ever worked for in my life never based my show on my opinions. He always based on whether or not I could back him up. Like when I was in Colorado, if I felt like Peyton Manning should have been benched, you know, they – or whoever, I could make that case. And as long as I backed it up, that was really the testament of what the show was. So I know people get a little crazy and they can take their, you know, theories and try to make some news. But one particular national host who I respect completely made this statement about Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson. He said that what amazed him about what's happening to Mickelson is that all of the wins that he's getting post 30. He said he's got more wins, 2.5 times more second places, significantly more tens, double the top 25s than Tiger Woods. Then he went on to say, Tiger Woods was Eddie Murphy. For 10 years, he was the biggest star in America. Phil Mickelson is Bill Murray. He just keeps doing great movies. And I take Phil Mickelson's career over Tiger's. Now, look, we all make crazy statements in this business, but when I saw this, I was like, okay, that's going a little too far. Think about this for a second. Phil Mickelson has 5 major championships, and he's had a tremendous amount of success past 30. I think I pointed this out yesterday. Gary Van Sickle wrote a column in which he said, here are the 15 majors that Mickelson's blown in his career, and only one of them occurred in his 20s. Everything else was in his 30s and 40s. Phil Mickelson virtually has no major success. Oh, I'm sorry. He has zero major success in his 20s. He wasn't even in contention for majors in his 20s, except the 1999 U.S. Open. Tiger Woods won a tremendous amount of majors in his 20s. In fact, won the Tiger Slam in his 20s. So Tiger's career has been derailed since 2008. When he has not won a major. And since then, Mickelson captured a Masters in 2010, a British Open in 2013. He's been in contention in a number of them, whereas Tiger has sort of kind of disappeared. But would you really rather have Phil Mickelson's career than Tiger Woods? What is better? What is Mickelson's career better at than Tiger Woods in the long haul? This seems like an crazy, crazy statement.
I mean, just think about the money that Tiger's made off endorsements. And I know Phil's made a ton of money.
Yeah, but Tiger's almost a billionaire.
Exactly.
Just
in that alone, the money and fame that Tiger has, like you were talking last night, Tiger transcended golf. He changed golf. Phil's never changed golf.
Never changed golf.
Phil's just been a very good player for a long time. There's a lot of those in every sport that we could look at and be like, oh, okay. There's a lot of guys in basketball that have been good for a long time, but they're not Michael Jordan.
To say that Phil, you would rather have Phil Mickelson's career than Tiger's, maybe that has something to do with, well, I wouldn't want to get caught by my wife cheating and then she chases me out of the house with a 7-iron and I crash my car and it's all over the tabloids.
Yeah.
Phil hasn't had that, but Phil has had an investigation into insider trading. He's had gambling issues. I mean, we all have our little demons, but that Tiger Slam was one of the most incredible things I had seen.
Oh, yeah.
It was
sure.
Unbelievable.
That stretch for those years of early Tiger was must-watch golf. And that's never been in golf outside of when it was Jack and Arnie.
I have never seen Phil, and I've followed Phil since the beginning. I've never seen Phil win a major where he dominated like Woods did at the U.S. Open in 2000. Woods finished at like 12 under par, and I think he won by 14 or something like that. I mean, he won... He was under par when nobody else was. Like, that's how crazy it was. He won the British Open by not hitting in a bunker for four rounds at St. Andrews. Tiger immediately won majors. Immediately. 21 years old, won the Masters. Then he changed his golf swing. And then in 1999, can you believe it was that long ago, him and Sergio got in a duel at Medina, and that kicked him off to where he won a major. He won the U.S. Open in 2000. He won the British Open in 2000. He won the PGA, beating Bob May at Valhalla. He came back and won the Masters in 2001. He won two majors in 2002. He just kept piling them up and piling them up and piling them up. And yeah, Phil has got a great career in that. Boy, he's always been in contention, and look, he's in this duel with Henrik Stenson. But come on, this is one of the more asinine comments I've ever seen. I mean, this is insane. Because when you're a golfer and you're making money and winning tournaments, all the things that you say you're in it for, if whatever your answer is, Tiger has it. Are you in it for the money? Well, Tiger Woods has made more money. Are you in it for wins and it's all about victories? Well, Tiger Woods has not only more majors, he's got more victories in PGA Tour events. All right, are you looking to transcend the game? Well, Tiger Woods transcended the game. Are you looking to be world famous with that kind of influence? Please. I said this yesterday. Do you think Phil Mickelson could have an audience with the king of Saudi Arabia if he wanted to? Tiger can. Do you think Phil Mickelson could go change some sort of economic situation in Bangladesh? Tiger can. Right? Phil can give money. Phil can donate to charity, but Phil doesn't have that impact of boots on the ground that Tiger has. Tiger could change the world. Tiger could go anywhere in the world and be a welcome guest, no matter what that country is doing that we may disapprove of. He is a global icon. Tiger is a global icon. So no matter what your reason is, what is it that you play golf for, Tiger Woods has had a better career than Phil Mickelson by a mile. By a mile. I mean, yeah, it stinks that Woods over the last couple of years has been really, really lousy. But you know what? It wasn't that long ago that Tiger was player of the year. 2013, he won five times. So it wasn't that long ago. He just hasn't won a major since 2008. But Phil hasn't won a major. You know, Phil hasn't won anything since the 2013 British Open. Hasn't won anything. The St. Jude Classic, the Memorial, Bay Hill, the Phoenix Open, nothing. He hasn't won anything since the 2013 British Open. I think this is just silliness. This is absolutely silliness. This has got to be for clicks or whatever, because this is dumb. This would be like saying Charles Barkley is, you'd rather have Barkley's career than, oh, I don't know, Robert Ory's or something. If you're looking at rings. 800-777-2907, 800-777-2907. Boy, I'm looking forward to that PGA championship now. Now I'm going to go to it. I'm really excited. I don't know what to do. I'm not kidding. I've covered a number of golf tournaments in my day, and I never know what I want to do. Do I want to be lazy and sit in the air-conditioned press box and just watch it on TV? Or do I really want to go out there and walk around? I really don't like walking around. I can't see anything. I have to keep my, you know, keep quiet. I don't have my cell phone on me. But I guess it's kind of cool to go out there and see. I see these guys on TV and I see them hit shots, and then I go see them in person and I'm like, oh my God, how do you do that? How do you hit a 9-iron 173 yards? That's crazy. And the stances that they have and how the course conditions are laid out. I am looking forward to see Baltusrol, though. That's a classic course. Jack Nicklaus won the 1980 U.S. Open there. Mickelson won the 2005 PGA there for his second major championship. But I miss Tiger. I was telling my wife this the other day. I've never seen Tiger Woods play in person. Never. He went to the International in Colorado, I think, twice. And then said, that's enough. I ain't doing this. I came, I made a mark, and now I'm gone.
I've got to see him, I want to say, four times.
Is it great? Because I really wish I could have seen him.
Yeah, me and my grandpa went when I was younger. Back in the early, it would have been 2002, 2003, and we sat in the stands so we could see him tee off. We waited for him, and then I think it was on the fifth hole, and then we followed him for a while. Because if you try and follow him from the beginning, you're never going to see him up close because there's too many people, especially back then. So we just sat in the stands and we got really good seats and we sat there and watched them tee off from right behind them.
It's got to be great.
Oh, it was great. Yeah.
It's got to be great. I followed Phil at the International for a while.
Yeah, we followed Phil too.
All right, coming up, news of the night, 800-777-2907 on Twitter at Tony D Radio. But coming up, the inside the headline stuff that you may have missed. I'm Tony D, Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
All right, it's time for news of the night, going beyond the headlines in this crazy world we live in. I have got to give Adam some credit. You haven't thrown me any Republican National Convention stuff, crazy stories from Cleveland yet.
No.
I mean, I don't know if you have any tonight, but you've done a pretty good job of staying away from that circus.
No, I stay away from that. I don't really pay too much attention. I've watched little bits and pieces, but I get just pretty annoyed with everything, so I just turn it off.
Yeah, it's not as easily digestible as some other things.
I just go back to baseball.
All right, what is story number one?
Story number one. It lasted 3 days, I would say. Johnny Manziel got into a fist fight at a friend's wedding in Hawaii over the weekend.
How good is that?
And it was just middle of last week when he said he was going to fix everything and make sure he gets back to the NFL and gets in shape. And all it was, him and another guy got into just a straight out fist fight, I guess, by the way witnesses recall the account.
Didn't Johnny Manziel get in? Wasn't there an issue with him like at a pool like before the draft or something like that, where there were some college kids giving him a hard time? And I remember we talked about it, and I said, yeah, you know, I kind of can understand Manziel's perversion of this. But in this situation, no, Johnny, stop it.
Isn't like, that when he threw the water bottle, right?
That's right. He threw the water bottle. But reports were like, as details came about, those kids were nagging him and just getting on his nerves. He was trying to enjoy the pool, and then he just had enough. And okay, I said, look, I get it. I absolutely get it. You're not supposed, you really shouldn't, but I understand it. In this situation, I don't care what the excuse was. Keep your mouth shut. Just nod. If people want to rip you apart, nod, because you have a reputation to rebuild and you're not doing a very good job.
Yeah, and you're at a friend's wedding. It was at the rehearsal dinner is when the fight happened, but it was right in the middle of the dinner. And supposedly they just stood up and started throwing hands at each other. And he sent the guy that he got in the fight with a bottle of champagne in the morning with an apology note.
Well done.
And to the couple, he sent them.
Oh, of course.
Yes,
because
to apologize to them as
well.
Let
me just make this observation, all right? Johnny Manziel, how do I say this? He better be a really good friend to invite him to your
wedding. Oh, yes. 100%.
Like, he better be a really good friend.
100%.
Because if he's wife of the bride, fine. But if he's wife of the groom, you are literally like on the biggest day of your life, petrified that he's going to ruin it and that's what your wedding is going to be remembered. Like years later, they'll be like, and didn't you have that football guy, the Johnny football dude, the guy who won the Heisman? Wasn't he at your wedding and he threw a punch at Richard and they got into a fight? Yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah, I remember that. That was great. Do you remember the warm nuptials and the fact that we love each other? No, I don't remember any of that. I remember the ceremony. I just remember that celebrity football player. You're just punching Richard in the face. Like, he better be a really good friend because you know that's coming. There's no way Johnny Manziel is going to a wedding in Hawaii and things are going to be quiet.
Well, and I don't know if there's a picture on this news story, and it's him with, you know, a girl that looks like she's in a wedding dress, very pretty girl, and maybe what looks like her sister. He's in like a camo collared shirt in Hawaii.
Wonderful.
You're in Hawaii, aren't you supposed to be wearing like a Hawaiian shirt?
Yes. Wear a Hawaiian shirt. Wear something. Yeah. Come on.
You're going to Hawaii, Johnny. Go.
Play the part, man.
Those things are everywhere. You find them on street corner shirts like that.
I was surprised he didn't do a Sonny Corleone from The Godfather and just walk around with seeing cameras and just throwing them on the ground and smashing them up.
Right.
And then throwing dollar bills on the ground to make them pick him up. I wouldn't be surprised if he had pulled that off. Johnny Football. Boy, his exploits, they're just too much. All right, story number two.
Story number two, I take it back on the convention thing, but this has nothing to do with the actual what happened inside.
Okay.
This is outside of the convention.
Oh, in Cleveland, Ohio.
Yes, this was Tuesday afternoon. Members of Black Lives Matter, the KKK, and the Baptist Church, Westboro Church.
Oh, wonderful.
They all got together and got into a little bit of a fight, and a lot of them...
A little bit of a fight. Yes. I like how you set that up. A little bit of a fight.
Well, here's why I say that, because two of the groups had water guns that were filled with urine.
Oh, of course.
And they were just shooting anybody and everybody, anybody that was close to them. It didn't matter if they were part of the other groups or just a bystander walking by.
Okay, now, just to clarify, the Westboro Baptist Church are those everyone's going to hell people, right?
Yes.
They're the ones that protest, like...
Everything.
Funerals and their... Okay, I gotcha.
Yeah, it don't
Fred
matter
Phelps,
what you are.
I think his name is. Okay, yeah. I just wanted to make sure.
So what do you do if you're a cop and you show up and they're shooting each other with water guns and then you're like, well, it kind of smells like pee.
That's great. Can you imagine that going, oh, what is that?
Yeah. What's that? Is that you guys? Like, should we just let you? I don't even know what I would do if I was a cop and that happened.
I don't either. I might lose it.
Yeah.
That might just drive me crazy.
What I would do is just start spraying people with my pepper spray because then at least the smell starts going away. You just gotta stay away from the pepper spray.
That sounds like the start of like a really like a joke. Like Black Lives Matter, Westboro Baptist Church, and the KKK all walked into a bar, you know,
and started spraying each other with urine.
Oh, God. I'm glad I'm not in Cleveland for this. I have friends, you know, when you're in this business, you work with people who do the political stuff, and I do the sports stuff and whatnot. And so I know friends who've covered conventions over the years, and they all say every 4 years it's like going to the zoo. It's like a circus. It's all weird. But to have to cover it, oh God, it would drive me nuts. I put up with some bad interviews from athletes, but I don't think I could put up with a convention. I'd lose my mind. All right, story number three.
Story number three. I saw this on Facebook today and scared the hell out of me. I'm not a big water slide guy when you get going out when you're not at a water park, basically.
Oh, yeah, no
so
doubt.
This is, I just put it on Twitter, at Adam G. Sager. It's a guy going down what looks like a stone water slide, but it's probably, you know, taken care of so you can slide down it. Well, he goes down around a very sharp turn, goes right out the water slide.
That's happened to me, man. That has happened to me.
But
I
here's
have been
the
on
problem.
Those things. Yeah, okay.
This is on a cliff. So he falls off the side of a cliff,
what?
Breaks his arm, breaks ribs, has lacerations all over his body.
Well, I mean, why isn't he dead?
I don't know that he actually fell off the cliff,
okay.
But it's on the side of a cliff that he went down and it's all rock and, you know,
that's petrifying.
Yeah.
That's too much.
Could you imagine doing that?
I've been on those things. We go to water parks with the kids and whatnot, and I stopped. I told my wife when she wants to go to the water park, I said, listen, I'll go, but I'm lazy rivering it, and I'm wave pooling it. That's it. No more of these. I'm not going down any more slides. I'm not going down rafts. I'm not doing the family thing where all of us get in a big tube. I said, I'm not. I said, I am so scared with my, you know, I'm carrying some girth that momentum is going to propel me out of these chutes. I've come so close. I can't tell you how many times I've slid down where I've gone around a bend so high I have tried to pull myself purposely back down thinking I was going to fall out of those things. I don't blame the guy. And I don't blame you. That scares me to death.
Yeah, I can't. Ugh.
Scares me to death. All right, coming up next, our Major League Baseball wrap-up from your Wednesday night. A doubleheader in St. Louis. We'll talk more baseball. Coming up next, Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you on Yahoo Sports Radio and YahooSportsRadio.com.
All right, that music means it's time to go around the night of Major League Baseball. Yes, it is July, but we still got some meaningful baseball games as we head into the stretch run of the season. There was a doubleheader played in St. Louis, and the Cardinals took both games against San Diego. They win game one by a score of 4-2 and then took the nightcap by a score of 3-2. Jed Jerko homered three times in the day, had two in the game two victory, drove in all three runs, and then he homered in game one along with Matt Holliday and Yadier Molina. Carlos Martinez got the win. He was 9-6. And Jaime Garcia got the win. He's 7-6. So a nice little doubleheader victory for the Cardinals at Busch Stadium. The Cincinnati Reds beat the Atlanta Braves 6-3. If no fans are around to see it, does it count? Joey Votto hit his 16th home run of the year. That's a little shot at the fact that both of these teams are beyond lousy.
Really bad.
Adonis Garcia and Freddie Freeman homered for Atlanta. So there you go. The Minnesota Twins beat Detroit 4-1. You know what? For a lousy baseball team, I feel like I've been saying a lot of Minnesota wins lately.
Yeah, they have been playing really well lately.
Joe Mauer hit his 8th home run. Max Kepler his 10th. And Kinsler is 19th for the Tigers. I don't know. Just a little observation that I just feel like I've been saying Twins win again. Wow, that's all right. Maybe over the weekend when we're not doing this, they're losing all their games. But they only have 35 wins on the season. Cleveland scored 7 runs in the 5th inning. They beat Kansas City 11-4. Royals got all 4 of theirs in the 8th, so they were shut out pretty much the whole way. Jason Kipnis is 16th home run of the year. Mike Napoli is 22nd. The Naquin kid, he hit 2 home runs tonight. I have the notes on him tonight. He drove in 6. Tyler Naquin drove in 6 for the Indians. The New York Mets and the Chicago Cubs at Wrigley Field. Cubs win that one 6-2. Anthony Rizzo homered twice. He now has 24 home runs on the season. Wilmer Flores, a 2-run shot for the Mets. Kyle Hendricks goes to 8-9-6, and the Cubs take 2 of 3 in that series. The Mets are just slowly dying a slow death. Just slowly.
Yeah,
I don't know when it's going to come, but just too many. The Tampa Bay Rays beat Colorado 11-3. They scored 25 runs over the 3-game series at Coors Field. Chris Archer goes to 5-13 with the win. Wasn't he an all-star a year ago? Or maybe 2 years ago?
Yeah, I think he was last year.
Yeah. And he was a very good analyst during the postseason.
Yes, he was.
I thought he did a very good job.
With the crazy
hair. Well, Jorge De La Rosa took the loss 6-7. Hey, despite the fact that the Rays had 16 hits and 11 runs, and nobody hit a home run in this one. So there you go. The Houston Astros shut out Oakland 7-0. They avoid the 3-game sweep. They hold the A's to 4 hits. Carlos Correa, I should say, drove in 3, had a 2-run single. Jason Castro had an RBI triple. The Seattle Mariners beat the Chicago White Sox 6-5. Leonis Martin had a walk-off home run for the Mariners. Todd Frazier hit his 28th. That leads the league, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I believe he's tied with somebody. I'd have to look it up.
We haven't even reached August yet. We might have 30-plus home runs by the time we hit the August stretch. That'll be pretty decent. The Toronto Blue Jays beat Arizona 10-0. I mean, sorry, 10-4. My screen is all messed up. 10-4. Edwin Encarnacion again hit his 26th home run of the season.
Back at
it. Josh Donaldson is 24th. Those two guys have a combined 50 home runs.
Yep.
That's great.
And now just imagine if Bautista was healthy and...
Oh, yeah.
Tulowitzki was good.
If Tulowitzki had 20 and Bautista had 25 or something like that, oh God, that'd be great. Blue Jays. We score runs the old-fashioned way. We just hit it out of the park and trot around the bases. The Yankees shut out Baltimore. That's another good win for the Yanks. That Baltimore Orioles leading the division. That's another good win for the Yankees. Mark Teixeira and Carlos Beltran with home runs. Beltran now is 20. Michael Pineda with the win. He goes to 4-9. I think this is dangerous for the Yankees, though. And if you're the front office brass, you're not rooting for your team to lose. But the problem is that we talked about this, whether or not the Yankees are going to be buyers or sellers at the trade deadline. Because they're just a couple of games above 500, you would think, hey, they should be sellers at the trade deadline and start rebuilding this stuff. However, you start winning games, that front office has got that ego, you start thinking, man, maybe we should be buyers. Maybe we can make a late push. I think this is dangerous for the Yankees. They need a lot more help. So I don't think they're not going to sell when they should. The Washington Nationals beat the LA Dodgers 8-1. Bryce Harper hit his 20th. In fact, 4 home runs were hit by the Nationals.
Did you see Bryce Harper's home run?
I didn't, but I saw on Twitter that it was a blast.
Yeah,
he went, tore the cover off the ball blast.
He went third deck in Nationals Park and went three-fourths of the way up the third deck.
Oh, my God. What's going on in baseball? We've got to uncover this.
And then Trey Turner stealing home run or stealing
home.
Yeah,
Trey
Turner
had a triple and then stole home. He had an RBI triple and then stole home, which is a really cool thing. They're juicing that baseball. They have to be juicing
have
that
to
baseball.
Be.
God, these are just...
I saw there's... Oh, what? There's been 12 three-run or three-homer games this year already. The record is 13.
It is unbelievable that they're doing this and there are no accusations on this whatsoever. Again, 8-1 victory by the Nationals tonight. Gio Gonzalez gets the win. He's 6-8. Anthony Rendon and Jason Worth each hit their 11th home run of the year. Philadelphia Phillies beat the Miami Marlins 4-1. Marlins come back to earth just a touch, but Chris Johnson did hit his 4th home run of the year for Miami. The Milwaukee Brewers beat the Pittsburgh Pirates 9-5. Teams combined for 22 hits. Boston defeated San Francisco at Fenway Park 11-7. Red Sox got a whole bunch of home runs in this one. Shaw hit his 11th. Hanley Ramirez hit 3 home runs. He now has 11 on the year. Barnes gets the win. He's 3-3. And Kane took the loss. He's 1-6. 1-6 on a Giants team that's got one of the best records in baseball.
Yeah.
Nice going, Matt Cain. The Angels beat Texas 7-4. Mitch Moreland and Ann Desmond had home runs for Texas. Rangers left 10 on base in this game, by the way. And Marte hit his 6th home run of the year for the Angels. And that is a 3-game sweep by the Angels over the division-leading Texas Rangers.
Texas
so
needs pitching and needs it bad
badly
before they start falling out of
who's that young
stuff?
Kid that's the general manager? The John Daniels?
Yes.
Get on the horn with the Yankees. Maybe they'll give up somebody. We've got to convince Brian Cashman that this team stinks, though.
Hey, I'm right with you now with my White Sox. They need to sell, too.
And Hal Steinbrenner. You've got to convince him his team stinks.
Yeah.
Right? They're like, no, I think we can make a push and we can make a run.
We're like in the exact same spot. The White Sox are the same with old man Jerry Reinsdorf. He's not wanting to sell anything because he's old and going to die soon. So.
Oh, God. I cannot wait to go to my first Yankee game in the Bronx. Can't wait to take the train to Yankee Stadium and see that place. But I got to be honest with you. I think tickets have got to go for $10, right? Who could possibly be excited about this baseball team?
Nobody.
They are so bad. So bad. That new stadium, though, I hear is nice. I'm really looking forward to seeing it. I wanted to see them over the weekend when the Red Sox were in town, but I didn't get a chance to go over there. I was in Coney Island, but I wasn't going over there. And by the way, and if anybody wants to help me out on Twitter with this, you know Renaud Notaro, who comes on our show to talk Broncos?
Yeah.
He is a big fan of the movie The Warriors, and I didn't know anything about the Warriors movie. I've heard about it, but I never saw it. And when I was in Coney Island, there was tremendous amounts of memorabilia of that movie that you could buy. You could buy t-shirts, there were hats, there were postcards, there were posters, there was artwork. And so I knew that he was a fan, so I took a picture of a t-shirt and I sent it to him. And he was kind of amazed I had never seen the movie. So I think that's my weekend assignment, is try to find a copy of The Warriors and check it out. I don't know what I'm getting myself into. It's just going to be a project. So there you go. So there's your night in Major League Baseball. We're still trying to uncover where all these home runs are coming from. So if any of you have uncovered a fact that they are sticking something into these baseballs to make them bounce around like they're that, you know, those balls you get out of a gumball machine, please let us know. Because I'd love to find out. Home runs are just flying out of ballparks all the time. All right, 800-777-2907, 800-777-2907. You want to get in on the conversation? We've had a number of things, including Big 12 expansion. I want to touch that on that next. Whether or not it is a good idea for the Big 12 to expand, and if they do expand, what would make the most sense? That's coming up next as well. Also, we'll talk more about whether or not Jeff Gordon coming back out of retirement to help Dale Jr.'s team is one of those feel-good stories, or like me, one of those, oh, come on, man, stories. That's all coming up next. It's Tony D, Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
All right, thanks for joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio as we close out this hour, again, with our Major League Baseball wrap-up. And we said a lot of home runs, and I know we've been playing off on that for, a couple of months now, sort of following it. It's just, it really is amazing when you think about it. I mean, if you remember the late 90s and the home runs that were hit, and then all of us kind of going, we're kind of caught up in this, but yeah. I'll never forget the AP writer that was in, I want to say it was in New York, but I may be mistaken on this. But I thought it was in New York when Mark McGwire was going around hitting home runs all over the place. And then one AP reporter looked in his locker and went, "Hey, Mark, what is that?" And it was Andrew Steendione. And nobody had ever heard of that. And all of a sudden we're like, maybe it's for his hair. And then all of a sudden you had to kind of look at that race a little differently. But still, we weren't really all jumping the gun like, this is a waste of time. This is all tainted. I loved the home run race of 1998. I loved it. I was in Las Vegas, and I know I told some of you guys this story, but I had a general manager. I was in a five-station cluster. We had a really great hot AC station, and we had a news talk station. And I remember that my general manager loved the baseball race. And I remember he told me, he said, "Look, if you're in the building and Mark McGwire breaks the record, and I know you're here on weekends and stuff like that, if he breaks the record, I want you to go to the stations and break in and talk about it. Just jump in with the DJ and talk about it." So that's what I did. When Mark McGwire broke the record, I went into the station and I went on all these music stations and I was talking about it. And I was as giddy as a school. I mean, if they had tapes of it, it would be just this young kid going, "And this is the greatest thing I have ever seen." I mean, I had like a Tim Kirchen voice, you know, like, "This is as totally as great as it could possibly get." I loved it. I mean, I was absorbed by it. I remember we would play Oakland Raider games. And we would run the Oakland Raiders at the station I was at. And during the, you know, when you're listening to a broadcast and they say, "Let's take 10 seconds or pause for station identification. This is the," well, we had a cart that played our station identification. We were in Las Vegas. And I went on and did live home run updates in those 10 seconds. So I would be in the room and they would say, "Let's pause 10 seconds. And then I would jump on and I would say, "Mark McGwire with a home run now has 59 and Sammy Sosa has 58. Home run race continuing." And that, just to keep people updated because we were all caught into it. We didn't get that taken away. We didn't get that joy taken away until down the road when we started to realize something's not on the up and up here. So we went, I would say, a good couple of years. When Barry Bonds started really knocking the ball around, we all kind of went, "Okay, all right, that's enough." But remember, that was in 2007 when he broke Hank Aaron's record. And we had a long time to process it because I think he broke the single season record in like 2001. So we had a couple of years there. And then we had a real long time to process steroids. So Barry Bonds got beat up when he was chasing Hank Aaron. By that point, we had had enough. We had already had the congressional hearings. You know, we had been through the ringer with that. Nevertheless, we see this resurgence of the home run in 2016. And if you just simply trust the idea that baseball has done a very good job of trying to remain clean, baseball has done a good job of testing, and they don't have a problem with suspending people. Even stars, they don't have a problem suspending you for 50 games, or in Alex Rodriguez's case, a year. They don't have a problem with it. They will knock you down if you're caught with this. So in that case, you get this better feeling in 2016 that, okay, we don't have a couple of guys pushing 60. We don't have a guy that has 57 right now, and we still have a couple months left. We don't have any of that, but we do have guys near 30, and we have a lot of guys in the 20s, and it's entertaining, and it feels great, and we don't have the cloud. And I always said, as my son was born, and I remember saying this in 2005, I never wanted to have that real conversation with my kid if he's collecting baseball cards and he's looking at stats and he's looking at the history of the sport and he's like, "Dad, what happened here? Like, it looked like everybody was hitting home runs. Who's this Brady Anderson guy? He has 50. There was, I never wanted to really sit down and go, well, you know, the game went through. I thought in 2005 I'd hate that conversation. In 2016, I'm glad to have that conversation. Because in 2016, having that conversation means I can tell him, we all did the right thing. We did the right thing as fans. We did the right thing as a sport. We did the right thing as a society to say, that's enough. We're not going to tolerate this. We're not. Our enjoyment of seeing guys hit home runs, mammoth home runs, monster home runs, we don't enjoy that much to see the game morph into athletes that are oversized, abnormal, gargantuan beasts. We don't want to see those. I mean, look at Mark McGwire's arms, for crying out loud. He looked like a circus act. And we didn't want to see it anymore. So if you're still more of the naive guy, not the naive guy, that was the wrong word. If you're more of the conspiracy guy that says, yeah, there's still something going on, they're just not telling us, oh, I can never convince you. But I know Major League Baseball has done a really good job of cracking down. And I look at this, and I'm having more fun watching this. And yeah, I don't think we'll get a guy that hits 61. Because boy, the guy that hits 61 or 62 is, even if he doesn't have the record, because that'll always be Bonds, that 62, if somebody were to do it, if Todd Frazier were to do it in 2016, it would really be special. I think people would look and say, that is really special. It's not the record, but you know what? In my lifetime, I did legitimately see that get broken, even though it's been broken a number of times. All right, coming up next hour, we'll talk Big 12 expansion. Dale Earnhardt sitting out for that concussion. What does that mean? Kobe Bryant writing a letter. It's all coming up next hour. It's Tony D, Yahoo Sports Radio.